Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Madden!
Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal.
Hey, Bunty. So, I thought for today's final story, we should talk about something that I guess everyone in India is talking about and everyone in the cricketing world is a buzz with, which is really the ball tampering incident involving Cameron Bancroft and the Australian captain, Stephen Smith, in their match against South Africa. Long story short, the guy was caught trying to, you know, sandpaper the ball or use some kind of sticky tape. He got caught on camera. He got nervous. He tried to hide the tape. The captain has admitted it, saying that it was a decision taken by all of them collectively. He's been given a ban of one match, and I think the captain has been given a ban of one match, fine 100% of his fees for that. And a lot of people, especially from South Asian cricketing nations, are kind of outraged at it. So Harbhajan Singh tweeted something in outrage. Others have pointed out that, you know, Pakistani cricketers went to jail for 5 years they were imprisoned and then they were banned from playing for 5 years. There was some bowler who was bowling no balls deliberately. And, accusations of double standards and a kind of institutionalized racism on the part of the ICC have emerged. And there's also been a kind of wider discussion, and I've been part of this as well, with some friends, about just the kind of pervasive racism in the Australian cricket team. Now, this is not to say that, you know, the Indian cricket team or the Pakistani cricket team are full of saints. But one of the things that I've often felt, and I think many would agree with me, is that the Australians hide a kind of banal racism under this whole business of being competitive or playing hard or, you know, just being lads and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, you've touched upon a range of different things. First of all, just a couple of kind of tweaks to your kind of initial comments. Smith, I'm picking it up from the BBC, will miss the fourth and final test of the series. So he's been banned for one test, correct? Bancroft, on the other hand, was fined 75% of his match fees and got 3 demerit points.
Oh, right? Okay.
And, you know, so that's the thing. I can't pick up anything where the Bancroft's been banned.
Okay.
And then the other thing was they didn't admit that everybody was in it. Smith used the term leadership group, which is, my first question is, what constitutes a leadership group? Because also in the press conference, they said the coaches weren't involved. So does it mean the captain, the vice captain, which in this case was David Warner?
I've just got, I'm looking up a Cricinfo article which says the leadership group also featured Mitchell Starc, George Hazlewood, and Nathan Lyon. No, it did not. Sorry. It did not involve the full leadership group, but was instead undertaken by quote-unquote senior players. So you're right, it is a little vague.
Yeah, because what's happened is they floated out a word. So there was one guy who was holding the culpability, which wasn't sandpaper, which was some tape with which, so through that kind of adhesive side of the tape, he put some dirt or kind of friction material to kind of rub on the ball and create distress on that side of the surface. So that it could get some reverse swing. But the person who was culpable in the first instance, the person with the knife or whose hands were covered in blood, to use a Shakespearean number, was Bancroft, who was a very young 25-year-old player. And it reminds me of a Pakistani bowler who was banned for like 3 or 5 years. I can't remember his name, a fast bowler, who just bowled a wide on his captain's instructions at a particular sequence in an over. And it happened in the UK, in London. And he was banned and sent to prison, etc. So I agree with some of the sentiments that's coming out of cricketers that, you know, there's a disproportionate reaction to when something happens in South Asia as opposed to let's, for lack of any other word, let's call it the white cricketing nations, right? Mm-hmm. So the brown cricketing nations and the white cricketing nations, there's a difference, right? Mm-hmm. But I think, and again, I'm not going to hold forth on that because I don't have much direct information on that. But I think your last point around Australian racism and how that is kind of packaged into banter, blokiness, and, you know, competitiveness is something that has long been a problem. And I think as Indian cricketers in the 80s, so the Vensakars, the Shastris, kind of bore the brunt of it, because at that time they were like completely subject to kind of a lot of redneck comments on field, which was unwarranted. But one of the things that has happened, and it was picked up by some sports analysts in the UK, is because India's financial place in the cricketing firmament is so powerful now that even the kind of go-to sledgers like David Warner think a million times before sledging an Indian player because they know that they could be jeopardizing their IPL-making, right? So the takeaway from the fact that Australians generally have this racist tendency inbuilt in any kind of sporting nation, which is kind of wrapped up in competition. But it's wholly unfortunate what has happened. And I think, you know, cricket's a very big game. It'll pick up itself and continue. But I think one of the things that happened in this very ill-tempered series is Australia has perpetually been saying that South Africa have been crossing the line. Now, this is a line that they have been defining, a line of propriety, as it were. And it completely transpires that they have been guilty of much difficult things. And you quoted a comment earlier on when we were discussing this, that the guy owned up because he was caught out. There was, it's not like, you know, he rocked up with the umpire and said, that, look, I'm sorry, this has happened. It just, when it became untenable, that's when they said that, you know, you know, I've got nuclear. So that's the difficult thing. But it's an odd story, and I think it's damaging for cricket and Australian cricket. But it also throws into sharp relief the fact that Australian cricketers, and cricket is a very big sport in Australia, have dug themselves into a very bad hole.
Right. And I think, you know, in fairness, I will say that the Australian cricket establishment may actually be contemplating a lifetime ban for these cricketers. I don't know. I'm guessing for the captain. I don't know about whether for Cameron Bancroft. Now, is this, you know, is this window dressing? Will they go through with it? I don't know. But apparently the Australian Prime Minister is also, like, you know, ashamed, and he's enraged, and he's I think he's asked the head administrator of the whatever Australian cricket body there is to kind of step down temporarily as well. So they are taking this seriously. You know, it's true that there are some people who are trying to spin it. Like, there was some journalist who was like, oh, you know, these guys deserve kudos for, you know, speaking up and all. And Prem Panikkar, who's Prem Panikkar is, you know, kind of like, he created online cricket in India, with Rediff Cricket Chat. He was my former colleague at Rediff. And he said, I mean, he just, you know, put out a tweet in his inimitable fashion saying that, if you excuse the unparliamentary diction, that he said, look, you know, this, all this, honesty and confession only happened after he got caught out my sandpapered balls. Which just went to the heart of it. So they're still trying to, you know, sort of spin it as, you know, fair play, stand up guys and all. And I've always found that to be a kind of massive contradiction, that they act in this particular manner, but then, you know, we play hard, but we play fair. And they don't. And I think someone could say that I have a bias here as an Indian, but I think that just years and years and years of seeing them do this, I think it's good that, you know, this has been kind of called out. I mean, Darren Lehman has his own history of racist remarks. I was reading he used the C word for Sri Lankans, calling them black seas. That's a statement that he had made. And I have a feeling that these kind of remarks, they were probably more pronounced earlier when the balance of power was not so much in the favor of, you know, India or the brown nations.
No. Look, I think this is not the end of it. This is probably the first 24 reactions from the first 24 hours. of what has happened is, you're right, the Australian politician, the top of the Australian executive has got involved in this because it really matters to them, this perception of this nation forged on the frontier spirit. It's almost reminds me of kind of this kind of Texan worldview of the of America. That's kind of played out in a kind of a cut-price 80s version in Australia. And I think one of the things that is of concern is the premeditated nature of this offense. So it is not something a 25-year-old does spontaneously on the field. The fact that they had thought through to carry sticky tape, where to pick up the dirt from, how to scrape the surface of the ball, ensure a certain somebody's got responsibility to do that. The question, Rohit, is, are other teams doing it? And are other teams doing it and not getting caught because there's not enough camera angles to cover it? I don't know. And I genuinely hope that people, because I love cricket for what it is, you know, all its formats. And what I most adore about cricket is the fact that even in this rough and tumble world where everybody's calling out names and, you know, being aggressive, cricket is the one place in that field where there's competition, but it's a decent type of competition.
Right. I'm sure there are moments when that competitive spirit sort of spills over into ugliness, and Indians are as guilty of it. And, you know, we have our own history of making remarks that are racist. And I think the thing is that there should just be fairness and consistency. That call out everyone the same way, mete out the same kind of punishment, and very importantly, have the same kind of assumptions for everyone. So, there was, in the context of this discussion, there's been someone shared a quote by Imran Khan saying that when they do it, it's reverse swing. When we do it, it's cheating. And, that brought to mind something that I remember sort of, following closely. Actually even did an academic paper on it like some 18 odd years ago, which was, the controversy involving Hansi Kronier and match fixing, right?
Mm-hmm,
and it turns out that Kronier was, he was guilty of match fixing. And I remember reading this article maybe a few months ago saying that he was guilty of match fixing, but he still is an icon in South Africa. Despite that, it has not changed his status as some kind of, hero. He was very fond of, like, he was this money-obsessed guy. But to me, what was very interesting, and this is something I looked at in this paper I wrote, was that, what happened is that the South African establishment and the white cricketing establishment just assumed that because this came out in India, he was being framed, the Indian police were, like, inept, Kronier couldn't do it, right? A white South African couldn't do this. So the assumption is that by default, Pakistanis and Indians and Sri Lankans and Bangladeshis will be cheaters, but Australians and Englishmen and South Africans, especially white South Africans, are all stand-up guys and they would never do something like that. And that fundamental assumption itself is racist. And to me, I'll just share this. What was interesting and what I looked at was that, otherwise there's pretty nasty rivalry between India and Pakistan. But very interestingly, when this happened, for that brief moment, there was a kind of moment of solidarity where the Indians and the Pakistanis on different cricket forums that I used to follow quite closely kind of came together. There was a brief sort of moment of this shared South Asian identity and understanding that, we are kind of tarred with one brush, while the assumption always is that the white South African or the Australian can never really be corrupt.
Correct. Well, look, we've talked about this. This has different implications. Let's see how the story unfolds. But I think it's been a sad day for Australian cricket, entirely of their own making. And they have lost a test match in the most brutal possible way, by a huge margin, by 300 and something runs. So in the end, the scales of justice, I think, in some way, balance things out. So those are my last thoughts on this story. Yeah, over to you.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right that, it's appropriate that they kind of lost the match if one is going to read any kind of cosmic or divine signs into it. Just a quick shout out to our listeners. We've just had some connection problems just for a little bit in this episode, but I don't think we've lost anything critical, so we'll go ahead with it. And the early episode also, the sound might have been a little muffled in bits, but just as always, bear with us. And, we have this on our horizon. But hopefully the quality is decent enough that you know, you could get most of it and you enjoy listening to it. So thanks as always. And Bunty, I think we'll wrap up here. All right?
Take care. All right. Chalo, take care. Thank you so much for listening to us. Rohit and Bunty would like to sign off. Please stay tuned. Follow us on India Explained on Twitter. Keep listening. Thank you for all your support.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at freestylelibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at freestylelibre.us.